Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, the resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Today, there is a guest on the podcast, fellow theater folkian Craig Mason for our YouTube fireside chat. But first, let's do theater folk news. We not only publish plays, but we also distribute DVDs from Interactive Educational Video, a fantastic series called Practical Technical Theater, the complete solution for technical theater classrooms, perfect for teachers who feel more at home with a prop book than a hammer. Each DVD is essentially, it's a visual textbook, and it comes with lesson plans, resource sheets, written assignments, performance rubrics. The series covers everything from set design to lighting to audio to stage management, and we are pleased as punch to announce two new programs, Careers in Theater and Costuming for Theater. Head on over to theaterfolk.com/PTT for more info and learn how you can get a free demo DVD. Lastly, please always remember and don't ever forget the places in which you can find this podcast. We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and our Facebook page and Twitter, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. Search for us through Theater Folk. Now, before we get to the podcast, both Craig and I had an epic fail when we were recording when we couldn't recall who had written the music for Guys and Dolls. I just want to rectify that. Frank Lesser wrote the music and lyrics. Episode 8, YouTube Fireside Chat. Come on in, sit down, pull up a chair. The fire's nice and cozy for our YouTube fireside chat. This is the TFP episode where myself, Lindsay Price, and
Craig Mason,
we look at, dissect, talk about some musical theater clip that we have seen on YouTube. It is one of our favorite activities. Craig plays DJ, waka waka, and pulls up musical theater clips for us to enjoy. So, Craig, what is the topic of today's YouTube Fireside Chat?
Sit down. You're Rocking the Boat from Guys and Dolls. And we're going to look at three different versions.
Yes.
And I'm really excited. We just watched them and took notes each on our own. And so I'm so curious to see what you're going to say and if we agree or if we're going to have a big fight over this.
Right. So the whole notion of this is the same song and how it gets interpreted. So we have, first of all, we're going to talk about the movie from 1955. And then we are going to look at the 1992 Tony performance from that year's Guys and Dolls. And then lastly, the latest production, which was in 2009. And I think that we can start off by saying that it's three pretty different interpretations.
Yeah, three quite wildly. Two are a little close to each other, but three quite wildly different interpretations.
Well, and not only that, three different body, like just guys, three different, completely different guys, three different approaches. And mostly funny, which I find is really interesting, there's a point in when he laughs, the guy, the nicely laughs, and we have three completely different laughs. Each one of them chose a different approach.
I didn't pick up on that. Yes,
okay, so Guys and Dolls, which opened on Broadway in 1950. Sit Down, You're Rockin' a Boat is a deep in Act Two song, and it's the song where everything is coming to a head. It's the song where it's supposed to show that the gamblers have been reformed so Skye Masterson can get the girl, and also to save the mission from being closed for not enough sinners coming and being reformed. So there's a lot at stake in this song. And I think that is an important thing to note. That this is, even though it is a, you know, it's a bit of a frivolous song, there's something at stake.
Yeah, well, I think what's great about a song with this, about this song, is that it's a lot of times in musicals of this era, songs are breaks in the action, and this is a song that actually tells a narrative. It tells a story, and there's a journey that the characters in the song take from the beginning to the end of the song.
And things change because of this song.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
They save the mission, and Sky Mastin gets the girl. So there's an importance. So first we're going to start off with the movie. And the movie was in 1955. And what's very interesting is that Nicely Nicely, who is played by Stubby K., awesome name, he also created the role on Broadway, which neither of us knew.
No, we just learned that now. It's funny about the movie, too, because I, you know, you see that it's Frank Sinatra, so you think, well, this movie can't possibly be serious, but it's pretty good. And, you know, Frank Sinatra was a pretty good actor. He was great in The Manchurian Candidate.
He was.
That's the only other thing I've seen him in, but
yeah.
He was great in that. So I didn't really see much of him in this video, but I'm sure he's great.
And so what we've got in the movie version, so I've been talking a lot, so Craig, you're going to go first.
Okay. Well, what I like about this version is that it's a genuine measured build from the beginning to the end of the song. It starts off very, very introspective, very quiet. And through the progress of the song, the gamblers get more and more involved in the story and more involved in helping, Nicely along.
I dreamed last night I got on the boat to heaven, and by some chance I had brought my dice along.
Another thing I loved about this version was the orchestration, which is just this gorgeous, high-fidelity, big orchestra sound that must be exactly what... who wrote the music? Lesser or Low? I can't remember which one is which.
Oh, we're terrible people. I don't know either.
It's either Frank Lesser or...
The other guy?
Low. Oh boy, I feel bad. At any rate, the orchestra sounds amazing. It actually reminds me of listening to records when I was a kid, like LPs, that high fidelity sound. I love the music. The other thing I like about this, the gangsters look like gangsters in this production. They do not look like musical theater performers. And the other thing I'll say too, for such a big production number, it's quite amazing how static the camera is. The camera is quite locked in one kind of that upward position for the majority of the song. Anyway, I love this version, Lindsay.
And I was gonna, that's sort of what I was gonna dive in on, is that particularly when we watched this one first and then the other two, this is clearly a movie version. It's very locked in a box. For good and for bad, I think the blocking is very much limited to the standing and the sitting of the characters. And Nicely, he pretty much locks his feet and he doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, but there's also the reality of the situation. They're in a tiny room too. There's not much place for them to go.
And I was just about to say, I kind of like that, because one of the other versions we're going to talk about sort of spreads out over the space. And I lost the sense of urgency with that spreading out of space. And I lost the sense of space. So I actually quite like that it's very contained and very closed. And they played with the standing and the sitting. There's a couple of instances of nice use of opposites where everyone is standing. When everyone is standing, when they're talking about, you know, sit down, you're rocking the boat. I find it very simple and close and not overdone.
Mm-hmm.
And
elegant.
Nice, elegant. And what I also liked is, because there was that you couldn't go anywhere, I really noticed how focused the other con men were on Nicely. They were staring at him, and you know, as if their life depended on it, which it kind of did.
Well, it does. And this will play into future, the next two videos. But I mean, it's very, they do not know what Nicely is about to say. They do not know how far they should go in agreeing with him. They don't know if maybe he'll say something insane. Who knows? But they have to follow him and understand where he's going and sell the same story that he's selling.
They certainly shouldn't know. And I think that leads quite nicely into 1992, because that's what I really found at the beginning of this video, was there was a really nice sense of panic on the part of the con men when they were like, okay, somebody walks in. We don't want to be seen. Okay, something's happening here. Okay, it's like a dream. Okay, we're going to go with you on that. And then they go with him. This 1992 version and the person who plays Nicely Nicely is a gentleman named Walter Bobby. And again, we are in a nice, close little room. Again, I like that.
Yeah, I found the costumes are much more cartoony.
Very, very colorful.
Yeah, but that's it could just be a Broadway thing. And it's so hard to translate theater onto film, but it looks to me like it was way too bright.
Well, that's the first thing that I noticed in the contrast, we just got more theater. Mm-hmm. Like the movement, you know, instead of when they were talking about sailing on that little boat to heaven in the movie version, it's literally just shoulders to the right, shoulders to the left. Mm-hmm. And in this version, and certainly in the next version, every actor's whole entire body is moving forward and moving back. Yep. In the waves.
I sailed away on that little boat to heaven, and by some chance found a bottle in my fist, and there I stood, nicely passing out the whiskey.
Yeah, the choreography was much more crisp in this version than there was in the movie version. But the actual storytelling to me felt a bit more labored. Like they were really focused on knowing that this is the big number in the show and really letting us, the audience, know that this is the big number, not the big moment in the show, but this is the big number. I mean, they add on a little bit at the end. It evolves basically into the gym dance from West Side Story. Like, it explodes out of that room and they start running up and down the stage.
I felt that more in the third.
Well, it's more. Well, yeah, I know. It's more in the third.
We keep getting more and more big. Focused on the number rather than the stakes.
So let's move to the next one.
So let's move to the next one. And the next one, which is the 2009 version. Now, this video has a lot of interesting things that happen in it. The gentleman who plays Nicely Nicely is Titus Burgess. And the first most interesting thing, if that is an English sentence, that we need to talk about is the fact that this was the Tonys and it was live theater and the guy's mic went out.
Yeah, and you can actually hear at the beginning, you can hear the stagehand deciding whether or not to bring the handheld.
Do I go out? Am I going out? And he says, I'm going out. And he runs on stage.
It happened to me kind of funny. Kind of like a dream.
Am I going in with it? I'm going.
And by some chance.
And it was wonderful. Nicely, the guy playing Nicely Nicely, he just took the mic. And whatever it is he was supposed to do in terms of choreography, he just did it with the mic. And it looked as if it was supposed to be that way on purpose.
If you cut out the part where the mic came in, you wouldn't have known there was anything wrong. But I mean, that's what the theater teaches us to do, right? I mean, theater is basically a constant management of problems. There's always something going on in the theater and you just have to manage what you're doing. So, I mean, his focus was great. And he carried on with the number. Now
the other stuff.
I like this number the least of the three.
Me too.
Oh, good. There's a whole bunch of business. All the choreography centers basically around the chairs. And it's wonderful. It's like there's really some neat, clever movements. But for me, there is no storytelling at all because the choreography is the same from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. The singing, the manner in which he is singing is the same from the beginning to the end. He's huge at the beginning. He's huge at the end. The gangsters are with him at the beginning. They're with him at the end. There's no transition from the beginning to the end for me.
I felt it was all very artificial. I felt the use of space. So in this one, they basically spread out the mission set all the way across the stage. And this is a very wide stage. And it just, the use of space made it feel, well, like a stage and not like a closed mission. It felt like there were no stakes. It felt that everybody on stage was dancing and not in the moment.
We have to remember what we're always doing, whether we're singing a song, whether we're doing a monologue, whether we're doing a scene, whether we're dancing in a number, we're always telling a story. And if you watch this one, there's no narrative being constructed here. There's no story being told. You're seeing an amazing performance. He's an incredible singer. You're seeing great dancing, great choreography, but none of it is serving the greater thing that it should be serving, which is the telling of a story. That's always number one, the telling of the story.
Yeah.
And there's no storytelling here.
There's no storytelling, and it's
I also believe the end of the song was very disrespectful to the music, the composers, that improv section at the end.
The devil, he's rude, he's hot, he's bad, he's bad, bad, bad,
you know, just a very cheap laugh and completely unnecessary.
That's exactly what I wrote down. Cheap laugh, cheap joke. And it just, it made me feel that they didn't understand what was going on. Either that, or they didn't
Or they were afraid of it.
Or they didn't respect their audience, that the audience couldn't go along with this, with the stakes of this moment. Just all in all, a performance, not a moment of theater.
Yes. Okay. Oh, I think we agreed on all three of them. Rank them in the order that we just discussed them.
I think I liked two more than you did. I enjoyed the build, and I enjoyed actually the breaking out of the box. I felt that it suited the flow from beginning to end. It suited that moment, and I didn't have as much problem with it.
Yeah, I know. On their set, they're not really using, they're using maybe pieces from their set, but on their set, maybe there was a more sensible escape from their, there maybe a drop or something that helped us transition to the stage proper.
Right. Cool. So I think wrapping up is that great singing and great dancing do not a show make. And this is particular to musical theater, where everybody says, you know, well, you know, it's so artificial. Why are these people breaking into song? Why are these people, you know, these newsboys dancing? I have to tell you, when we saw the last, maybe that'll be another one, Newsies on the
Tonys.
The last Tonys. It's just like, these aren't newsboys breaking into a joyful celebration. These are trained dancers. You know, and it's
moving into choreography.
Choreography. And that's what I think that's what I would say about the last one is that, but there's somebody thinks they're a very clever choreographer.
They are a very clever choreographer, but not a good storyteller.
I shouldn't see that. All right. Yeah. Craig Mason, thank you so much for joining me in the U-Type.
Oh, my pleasure.
Craig, what is a U-Type? YouTube.
It sounds like a business opportunity.
The U-Type? The YouTube Fireside Chat. I love these, and I can't wait for the next one.
I'm just glad we didn't fight.